you can catch her live at Montreal's URSA on Saturday, June 17th. For more information, please visit CarolineMarieBrooks.com and check out her new music video, To the Waves.
Yes, 1-2-1-2. Oh yeah, see, Nomadic Massive in the place to be. You're listening to CKUT 90.3. Understand?
Are you a tenant in Montreal? Do you have questions about your rights? Your local housing committee can help. To find the housing committee for your neighborhood or for more resources, go to www.rclalq.qc.ca.
Listeners, this is Older Women Live, OWL CKUT 90.3 FM radio program. We broadcast on the second Wednesday of each month. Today, I have the pleasure to be your hostess. This is Brice Nakasha Rowe, a survivor of the internal armed conflict in Guatemala from 1960 to 1996, the coordinator of Plataforma Canadá Guatemaltecos Exiliados por Terrorismo de Estado, an organization that brings together victims, survivors of the internal armed conflict in various provinces of Canada. Our collective is part of the international network of solidarity with Guatemala, a collective of collectives in Europe, Latin America, United States, and Canada. Both organizations work for memory, truth, and justice, and supports the struggles of our people trying to be the solidarity that Guatemala needs. Finally, I am part of the Older Women Live Collective that produces this radio show. Previously, we have talked about Guatemala, the internal armed conflict from 1960 to 1996 in the context of the Cold War, the signing of the peace accords that ended the conflict in 1996, and events after that. According to the Commission of Truth, this war left 200,000 people killed, 440 villages destroyed, 45,000 people forcibly disappeared. What haven't we talked about much is the 5,000 missing children who were used in child trafficking to French-speaking countries and cities given up by the Guatemalan government. So later tonight, we'll talk about this. Let's take a walk through memory and briefly see what has happened in Guatemala in the last 20 years. An agreement between Berger government and the United Nations in 2007 gave rise to the International Commission Against Impunity in Guatemala, CICIG, which operated until 2019. It opened spaces to investigate corruption, impunity, and cases of the internal armed conflict. Those responsible for corruption and war crimes during the conflict belong to the same elites. One example, Otto Perez Molina participated in war crimes in the 80s under the name of Mayor Tito Arias and became president of Guatemala in 2011. CICIG's investigation's result pointed out to Perez Molina and the Vice President Valdetti as the leaders of the Linea criminal network. The sectors of traditional power, fearing outbreaks of discontent, facilitated demonstrations against the government, pretended to carry out a fight against corruption, and influence the extensions of CICIG's mandate. In 2022, Perez Molina and Valdetti were sentenced to 16 years for crimes of illicit association and a special case of tax fraud. Other cases of corruption were also investigated. There were also advances in the cases of the internal armed conflict in 2012. The Inter-American Court of Human Rights ordered the state of Guatemala to investigate facts related to the military diary case. In 2013, former de facto president Efraín Ríos Montt was sentenced to 80 years of prison for the Ixchil genocide case. All these advances, both in the fight against impunity and corruption and in transitional justice, made sectors of economic, political, and military power increasingly consolidate to face this situation. In the following elections, political parties change their names and present new faces as candidates. After the fall of Perez Molina and the massive demonstrations against his involvement in corruption, people thought that elections were the opportunity to change things. During the internal armed conflict, the chief of staff of the army ensure the continuity of power so that even if there was a change of government or coup d'etat, military plans remained standing. Now, the economic, political, military, and criminal networks that are totally united guarantee this continuity. Comedian Jimmy Morales became president of Guatemala in 2016 without representing a change of those who are really in power. CICE continued advancing against impunity and corruption and cases of the internal armed conflict. In 2018, four ex-military officers, Saldaña, Gordillo, Callejas, and Benedicto Lucas were sentenced for forced disappearance of a child and torture and rape of his sister in the Molina Thyssen case. These military officers are also involved in the Creompas case, which is the discovery of the largest clandestine cemetery in Latin America. Morales' brother himself was under investigation for corruption. In 2019, Morales began criminalization against CICIG, ordering its members to leave the country and blocking CICIG's leader, Commissioner Ivan Velasquez, return to Guatemala. CICIG achieved its excellent results thanks to the Prosecutor's Office Against Impunity, FESI, Attorney General Claudia Paz y Paz, in 2010 to 2014, Attorney General Thelma Aldana, 2014 to 2018, justice operators, lawyers, judges, human rights defenders of territory, the People's Liberation Movement, MLP, and many Guatemalans who yearned for real change in Guatemala participation. MLP base is of Mayan peasant origin and defenders of the environment and territory in Guatemala. Its leader is Telma Cabrera. This movement has had a great capacity for mobilization, demonstrations, and road blockades. MLP demanded Morales' resignation, that CICIG investigate the three branches of government for their total cooptation and corruption. MLP is against multinational extractive companies, and in Guatemala, there are Canadian extractive companies that operate knowing the high level of human rights violations committed in Guatemala. Human rights defenders and members of the MLP and progressive left wing and independent sectors who oppose this system have been criminalized. During the discredited period of President Morales, preparations for presidential elections began. Attorney General Telma Aldana decided to run as a presidential candidate, but Morales' government issued an arrest warrant against her when she was in El Salvador, so she took exile in the United States. Telma Aldana worked in cooperation with CICIG on corruption cases such as La Línea and others involving senior government officials. The MLP also participated in the 2019 elections with Telma Cabrera as presidential candidate and obtained third place. Yamatei, who had participated with different parties in elections since 2007, was without success. He became president of Guatemala in 2020, supported by sectors of political, economic, military power, and criminal networks. Therefore, criminalization against the Human Rights Persecutor's Office, the Human Rights Ombudsman Jordan Rodas, judges such as Erika Aifan, Virginia La Parra, Miguel Angel Galvez, defenders of human rights and the territory, the Persecutor's Office Against Impunity, FESI, continue. The tentacles of the sectors of power continued controlling all the institutions of the state. However, in June 2021, preliminary hearings for the military diary case began. In May 2022, Judge Galvez ruled to send 9 ex-military and ex-military officers to trial, including former Minister of Defense, General González Taracena. University of San Carlos de Guatemala, USAC, was one of the most trusted institutions for its work in defense of the interests of the people. However, it has been infiltrated by corrupt political parties. On May 14, 2022, Rector Walter Mazariegos was imposed by Yamatei with the help of the National Police. Former human rights attorney Hernan Rodas participated as a candidate for the rectory, obtaining a lot of sympathy, but Yamatei illegally interfered in the electoral process. Even within this chaotic situation of criminalization and road to dictatorship, in 2022, 5 former civil defense patrolmen were sentenced to 30 years in prison for duties against humanity in the Mujeres Achi case. Yamatei continues criminalization strategies with the help of Attorney General Consuelo Porras and the Foundation Against Terrorism, led by Ricardo Méndez Ruiz. The public ministry issued an arrest warrant against Rubén Zamora, president of El Periódico, an alternative media outlet. Juan Francisco Solórzano Fopa, in charge of the Persecutor's Office Against Impunity, FESI, defended Zamora. FESI's leader also managed to pressure sectors of power to pay their taxes, which they previously evaded without problems or consequences. Presidential general elections are this coming June the 25th. The MLP, with Telma Cabrera as presidential candidate and Jordan Rodas, former human rights persecutor, as vice presidential candidate, were denied their registration. Juan Francisco Solórzano Foppa, with the leftist coalition URNG, WINAC, and SEMILLA, was also denied the right to registration to run for Guatemala City's mayor position. In April 2023, MP, or meaning the public ministry, extended an arrest warrant against Solórzano Foppa. Are we living under a dictatorship in Guatemala? We'll find the answer after we interview our guests tonight. Today, we have two guests, Sandra Moran, human rights defender, feminist, writer, former deputy to the Congress of Guatemala, a poet, a musician, and a member of the LGBT community. She will talk to us about what we can expect from the next general elections this year. Our second guest is Mariana Algara, who will tell us about the collective Estamos Aquí, We Are Here, Nusom CC, a group of Guatemalans given to Quebec couples in illegal adoption. Then she will read a letter for their mothers prepared by the collective. But before that, let's listen to Mujer Tambora, a poem talking about Sandra, her drums, and how her heart becomes her drums. She participates in demonstrations, protests, Women's Day, and she always plays her drums.
Mujer tambora, latido grave, golpe, voz cabalgante, mujer tambora, manos y piernas, caudal del río, ojos tambor, grito rebelde, conga, fiesta, canción, mujer tambora, corazón tambor, mujer tambora, corazón tambor, mujer tambora, corazón tambor, mujer tambora, corazón tambor. Mujer tambora, tambor de guerra, verso de amor, chinchín de conchas y caracolitos, pito de barro, mujer tambora, sonido de vaina silvestre, cascada transparente, lluvia, bosque, mar. Mujer tambora, corazón tambor, mujer tambora, corazón tambor, mujer tambora, corazón tambor, mujer tambora, corazón tambor. Mujer tambora, corazón tambor.
We welcome Sandra Moran to our Older Women Live CKUT 90.3 FM program. We have her participating in our show previously. Sandra was interviewed by another member of our collective, Laura Yaros. It was many years ago during a March 8 event at Concordia University. The event was organized by women of diverse origins. Then I have interviewed Sandra in Guatemala for Women's Day and other times for previous elections or her work as a deputy. And last time it was when she published her book, Valió la Pena. And this time our collective is so excited, as previous times as well, that once again, Sandra has kindly accepted our invitation. So Sandra, thank you so much for being here with us tonight. I don't know if you would like starting by saying something about you, or we start with the questions.
Well, first of all, thank you very much, Marisna, for having me here again. And I want to say hello to everyone. And I'm always, for me, is getting into Canada somehow. it's kind of getting back to also my community. Then, thank you very much.
Okay, Sandra, yes, you live here in Canada for a while. I remember Vancouver. Yeah. Sandra, by reading and listening information in social media and sources of alternative media, we learned that Alejandro Guillamate's government is called a dictatorship. What is your opinion about that?
Well, yeah, this is the name that people is given to Guillamate, because it's the way that we see that he is like he's like doing direction to different in the Congress, the direction of the judicial system and direction of the executive. Then finally the Republic, Guatemalan Republic, is kind of doesn't exist anymore. It's like everything is, the power is concentrated in Guillamate. And it's also they managed to co-opt all the institutions in the state, that we now are seeing this electoral process as the last possibility stop those people to finally have the whole control. He is named by other people as dictator, but he is going to, hoping that he's leaving in 6 months. But who's going to continue this project that he has right now? Then the elections are the vehicle that they have to put another one. Almost the same. We are going to change the name. We are not to change the person, but we are not, that we are hoping to change also the project, the political project that they are imposing to us. That's for us the electoral process right now. That's important, that we feel that this electoral process is not any is very important for the life of the majority of people in Guatemala.
Thank you, Sandra. Yes, I agree with you, because I think that from Otto Perez Molina's regime, and then Jimmy Morales, and then Guillamate, it doesn't matter who has been showing their face as a president, but it is all these structures and sectors of power that have been manipulating the situation in Guatemala and co-opting every single institution of the government.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like we feel that the open space that we gain with when the peace accords were signed in 1996 is right now is almost close. No, it's almost, it's like we we always say that in 1997 we talk about, yes, we start a transition, and we always ask, well, transition to what? Then our hope was a transition for a new country with rights and with capacity for everyone to live here, etc. But for them, the transition was to close everything again. And this is exactly that moment. And remember that in 2015, the citizens opened a space because the work of CICIG, no, the International Commission that was putting that was visibilizing the corruption that the system has, visibilizing how the military were working, the visibilizing how the oligarchy was working there. But we as a movement, as a left party, we didn't have enough power to take that conjuncture and put it for the people. I'm sorry to say that, but it's really sad that we didn't have that possibility. We weren't ready to do that. Right now, we are trying to at least not to lose everything.
Yes, I think that actually what happened also was that this Commission Against Impunity that Iván Velázquez led was expelled from Guatemala too soon. Yeah. And so in spite of the fact that they did an excellent job by exposing all the corruption that was taking place in Guatemala and denouncing and actually taking these people to court, and that's exactly why some people were taken to court, like Otto Pérez Molina and so many yeah. others, and also the internal armed conflict cases advanced, yeah. but it was too soon. So now, in this at this moment, in this conjuncture, what do we think we could do to really gain some openings so we can continue with the struggle? You are mentioning the elections, and so in this context, with these political parties participating, what do you think is the best outcome that we could achieve?
Well, we since 3 years ago, we start thinking and organizing ourselves for these elections. And during these 3 years, we have been losing and losing and losing. They have been co-opted more and more institutions. Then we said we need to focus in the Congress, and we need to have more people from our side, from the left, from the progressive side in the Congress, and in the way that we can, one thing, stop them to continue with this regression, with this cooptation of all this stuff, and stop them and fight, stop, but also confront their power, but also start recovering the proposal, the laws proposal that we have there, in order to allow people to enjoy rights. Then we, until now, the rights of women, the rights of people, people's indigenous people, the rights of youth, or even the children, those are, they decide to stop not any bill in order for their rights.
Yeah.
This is like, I don't know, bloqueo? It's like they...
Yeah, it's a blockage.
Yeah, yeah. That's a political decision that this Congress took. Then yeah. we need to have more people, and that's why I also took the decision to run again, because now I have the experience to be in the Congress. Now I can also help others to start with that experience and have more people into the Congress. We are hoping, we are working that citizenship, the citizens can vote for us and see us as a option for them to stop the situation that we have right now.
I think you, in my opinion, you did a great job when you were in the Congress, and you have the respect of many people because you were always working very hard and you actually achieved a lot. So I agree with you. I think it's important to change the correlation of forces in the Congress so that more bills in favor of people could pass. Otherwise, we will stay in the same place or probably going even to a worse situation. But I also believe that perhaps we could also think about the people that are elected in the countryside, in the provinces or departments. We call them departments in Guatemala, but here in Canada.
As mayor.
Yeah, as mayors, yes.
Yeah.
So perhaps we could get to into a different position. I think that most people in Guatemala are aware of the cooptation of the state. I mean, people are fed up with that, but sometimes they don't know what to do or who to vote for. So,
Well, if we put together the proposal from the People's Liberation Movement, MLP, and from Semilla and Winaku RNG, even VOS, if we put together all of those proposals, well, we can have and if people see that as an option, we really can have can change the local power and also the Congress power. But that's the challenge, because here in Guatemala we like this, the usually there is a how do you say like a client political
political clientele,
exactly, that the big parties almost buy the votes.
Oh yeah.
No. For people. And then we are now saying like, okay, if you receive the stuff, okay, you receive, but remember the vote is your vote and you can change your mind or you can do whatever you want in order to protect your life, because you receive something right now and you are going to suffer 4 years more. No?
Yeah. And the gift that they receive lasts them a little bit, but then the rest of the time that these people are in power are really awful. I think that they should vote. I say vote with memory. I mean, remember who the genocides were, who the corrupt, and the ones that have really made themselves rich from whatever they have, robbed from the state. So that's important. But yes, I really hope that this time people will remember and vote accordingly to what we really needed.
I hope so too.
Yeah, and would you like to add anything else that you would like our listeners to know?
Yeah, one thing that we are now working also, it's like we also, because the situation is really bad and many people have to go, are going to exile too, because right now it's not the attacks, not kidnapping, it's not, some is kill people, but right now it's taking you to the jail. Right now, that's the way that the repression is taking now. And then many people are leaving the country. Then we feel that we need to recover those networks in solidarity con Guatemala. I think this is the moment that we also need, like, I know that you and other people have been there all the time, but we used to have networks in solidarity.
Yes, and, I remember.
And I think we need to recover or rebuild or build new networks, because if they win everything, we will be in really bad shape.
Oh yes, I know.
Then I think the need of solidarity, the need of help will be bigger than is right now, in communities and for the leaders and etc. Then I'm saying that in the way that I with respect, I calling you again to build or to recover those solidarity networks, because we need it as people in struggle, as community, as human rights defenders. We need it again, because right now it's like if some of them win the elections and we don't manage to bring more people into the Congress, we will be in really bad shape, and I don't know, like the situation will be really difficult for us for the next 4 years.
Yeah, no, we are aware, and when I say we, I refer to me and other people that I know, that we have continued working, especially now with the elections. We think it is important to support, and we have published materials and stuff for people to read and understand what's going on. And I don't know, you probably know that we have formed a network called Red Internacional de Solidaridad con Guatemala, which is in English would be the International Solidarity Network with Guatemala. And that is formed by a number of collectives in different countries like Canada, United States, Mexico, countries in Europe, and Argentina, Costa Rica. It's only a year, close to 2 years, that we have been working together. And we really are committed to continue working with Guatemala, because in our opinion, as you said, now they not kidnap you or force disappear you or execute you extrajudicially, but now they either send you to jail, or you have to go into exile, or they deny you of your rights, your civil rights.
Exactly.
So it's like no opening. It's closing all the spaces.
Yeah, exactly. And thank you very much for that. And we can continue talking about how to reconnect and how to all the work that we do. Thank you very much.
Excellent. I am going to keep you in mind that we have also published here in Canada. I work with the Human Rights Committee here in Canada. It's called CEDAL. On Monday, there is going to be a podcast published in which I participated, actually talking about decriminalization and all that. But what I am thinking is that probably they could interview you. I am going to ask them to interview. They do podcasts, and those are published by Lars, I believe, which is publishing on Latin America. So I think you will be great to be interviewed. Okay.
Thank you very much, Sandra, for sharing with our listeners the difficulties that the Guatemalan people against the economic, political, and military powers and criminal networks are facing at this juncture. We hope that the election's results will bring people the chance to change the balance of forces to open spaces. Let's vote with memory and choose a government, Congress, and mayors free of genocidal thieves and corrupt people. This is Older Women Live, OWL, CKUT 90.3 FM radio program. Our next guest, Mariana Algara, will be introduced by Ceci Bautista. Ceci will be translating for her as well, as she talks about Estamos aquí, we are here, Nous sommes ici collective. But before that, thinking that the 10th anniversary of the sentence against Rios Montt for the Ishil genocide cases this year, we will listen to Cumbia de la Memoria, a song by Rebecca Lane. This song talks about the genocide against Ishil people, other massacres and war crimes committed by the army against men, women, and children during the internal armed conflict.
Los ojos de los enterrados se cerrarán juntos el día de la justicia o no se cerrarán.
Estamos aquí para reivindicar la memoria del pueblo Ishil. Estamos aquí para decir, aquí en Guatemala sí hubo genocidio.
Ríos de sangre en los que lloró la tierra después de tanta masacre en tiempos de la guerra. Y no pienses que esto se quedó solo en los 80, tantos pueblos arrasados de una forma tan cruenta, tan violenta la manera de quitarle agua al pez. El ejército asesinó una y otra vez. Como piensan desde el odio, hacen todo al revés, defendiendo intereses de los ricos tal vez. Usted no se haya dado cuenta, pero el exterminio a pueblos mayas tuvo intención de genocidio. Plan Sofía lo decía, y de matar mayorías. Qué casual que en esas tierras hoy haya minería. Fusiles y frijoles para reeducar, son campos de concentración para latinizar. Ríos Montt, no lo niegues, te vamos a juzgar. Cuántas veces necesario voy a testificar. Claro que sí, sí hubo genocidio, lo sabe este cuerpo porque en él no hay olvido. Intentas borrar la historia, yo escribo la memoria. Escucha esta canción, es sentencia condenatoria. Claro que sí, sí hubo genocidio, lo sabe este cuerpo porque en él no hay olvido. Intentas borrar la historia, yo escribo la memoria. Escucha esta canción, es sentencia condenatoria.
Es genocida, no soy yo.
Nunca podrán imponer amnesia histórica memoria colectiva.
Yo estoy luchando.
Los genocidas no somos nosotros.
Qué cara tienen ellos que no hubo genocida. Sí hubo genocida porque
el genocida es Río Montt.
El pueblo Ishil ya te llevó a juicio. La jueza Jazmín Barrios dijo, él sí lo hizo. Durante días escuchaste el suplicio de gente tan valiente que se niega al olvido. El poder logró que se anulara el proceso. Empresarios dinosaurios forzaron el retroceso. Lo que ellos temen es que ya perdimos el miedo. Renacimos de la tierra con todos nuestros muertos. Claro que sí, sí hubo genocidio. Lo sabe este cuerpo porque en él no hay olvido. Intentas borrar la historia, yo escribo la memoria. Escucha esta canción, es sentencia condenatoria. Claro que sí, sí hubo genocidio, lo sabe este cuerpo porque en él no hay olvido. Intentas borrar la historia, yo escribo la memoria. Escucha esta canción, es sentencia condenatoria.
Genocidio no es ya solo una lucha de nosotros en el país, sino que también es un reclamo en el mundo que se juzgue y se condene a los genocidas en Guatemala.
Sí hubo genocidio. During the CAI in the years 96 to 1996, the state of Guatemala, led by military dictatorships and their illegal parallel structures, forcibly disappeared 5,000 children. In some cases, when they destroyed villages, army officers took those children and made them their slaves. In others, the children were stolen by cheating their mothers. Given the level of poverty in Guatemala, some mothers had no choice but to give their children for adoption. These children were given to parents in French-speaking countries and cities for illegal adoption. Couples from Quebec, France, and Belgium adopted these Guatemalan children. For the state of Guatemala, this was a very lucrative illegal business. In Quebec, a group of young adults formed the collective Estamos Aquí, We Are Here, Nous Sommes Ici. Today, we welcome Mariana Algara to our Older Woman Live CQUT 90.3 FM program. She will tell us about the group and then we'll read a letter that was prepared by the collective directed to their mothers.
Hace aproximadamente año y medio.
The Estamos Aquí, We Are Here, Nous Sommes Ici collective was born from the ashes of the internal armed conflict in Guatemala. The collective was organized about 2 years ago when we realized the expansion that this war encompassed in its population. Institutional and state violence had not ceased since then. During that war, there were thousands of children who were stolen and given up for illegal adoption to Western countries. When we heard about the illegal trafficking of infants, we had no choice but to organize ourselves. Although this search project by and for relatives seems to be in its embryonic and growing stage, it is a group with solid foundations which has consolidated important victories for the reunion of its seekers. It has been difficult to learn on the fly because there were processes that we did not know. However, it has delivered us with a variety of emotions at different levels of complexity. The searches are not isolated elements of war, rather they are consequences of it. Realizing the cruelty that was lived is sometimes like thinking of fictional scenarios of any war movie. Our learning has been polished along the way. We know a lot about the history of the internal armed conflict. We learned tools to provide to people who want to start the search process. Being aware of our context allows to observe the different forms of violence that have been maintained for a long time. Here we mean patriarchy, sexism, misogyny, and racism. We discovered that not all children were stolen during the massacres. Many cases were due to the misery in which entire populations lived, pushing mothers to seek protection for their offsprings, with the state being the common denominator of the violence exercised. It took advantage of this situation of need in which thousands of families found themselves. The state, with the discourse of offering security and better living conditions for its children, managed the largest trafficking of children in international history. It is paradoxical that it shows itself as the protective institution when it has been the executor of the same genocide, deploying different mechanisms of economic, political, social, institutional, patriarchal, and sexual control. This resulted in absolute misery for its population. You can imagine a little that barbarity, and the state, instead of helping developing social programs, as they mentioned in their democratic speeches, are rather conservative organs that are enriched by it. So the state punishes abortion and capitalizes on business through the children born into its regime. Today, we are here to share the following with our mothers in Guatemala.
Hoy estamos aquí para compartir lo siguiente a nuestras madres de Guatemala. Madres, por cualquier situación que hayan vivido, queremos decirles que no fue por ustedes.
Mothers, no son whatever situation you have experienced, we want to tell you that you are not guilty of anything, and we are not here to judge you. We just want to meet you and give you all the love we have. If you have to give us up for adoption, it was because the system didn't work. You were suffering at that time from bad government with policies that should not have existed. And the only option you had was to separate from us for a while. We are aware that you continue to suffer because you don't know where we are. But here we are. We are alive, and soon we will be together. We will move mountains. We will swim against the current, even if it has the force of a tsunami, just to find you. We will walk on volcanic lava until we find you. We want to hear your voice, your laughter. We want to update you on our days and tell each other gossip. We want to sit at the table with you, chat, and fill ourselves with stories. We cross our fingers for that day to come soon. Know that we have never forgotten you, and we know that you have never forgotten us. We cannot imagine the pain you experience when they separate us. The tears of spilled blood have been so hot that nothing has been able to cool them. Someday we will reconnect like when we were together for at least 9 months of our life. Mothers, we miss you. Meanwhile, our eyes turn to heaven, imagining that you two are doing the same, and it gladdens our hearts to know that we are sharing the same heaven. Mothers, we love you.
This is Older Women Live, OWL, CKUT, 90.3 FM radio program. This program has been possible thanks to the participation of Sandra Moran, Collective We Are Here, Mariana Algara, Ceci Bautista, poems and music by Sandra Moran and Rebecca Lane, production by our collective Older Women Live, and editing by Wendy Zoe. A special thanks to our listeners. We are closing our program with Con Memoria, a poem by Sandra Moran. This poem invites us to remember and not to give up on our struggles. Thank you and have a good night.
Con memoria, compañeras, con memoria. Con memoria abro caminos, recorro veredas, escucho los cantos y recobro susurros. Con memoria, compañeras, con memoria. Con memoria camino las calles hilando tu historia. Alzo la voz en tu nombre con los nombres. Construyo mi vida, tu vida, como hijos e hijas de la misma historia. Con memoria, compañeras. Con memoria, compañeras, con memoria. Porque han querido matarnos la valentía y no lo han logrado. Con memoria, compañeras y compañeros, porque quisieron matarnos los sueños y por supuesto que no lo han logrado. Con memoria, por favor, con memoria, porque quisieron matarnos la esperanza y no lo han logrado. Y no lo han logrado, y no lo han logrado, porque aquí estamos, aquí estamos, aquí estamos armadas de valor, sueños y esperanza. Aquí estamos más vivas y vivos que nunca. Con memoria, compañeras. Con memoria, compañeras. Con memoria, porque vale la pena seguir y no callar. Porque vale la pena ser intolerante con la impunidad y la traición. Porque vale la pena, porque vale la pena, porque vale la pena vivir para que la verdad nunca muera. Gracias.
Digicel, multiplié chaque minute, yo pas 8. Minute la saute, l'autre bug, l'olive, rivé Haïti pas 8. Ça voulait dire, au carré connecté, la journée coule en 8. Avec 8 fois plus minute pour parler 8 fois plus. Avec un spécial Digicel, ça, chaque minute vaut 8.
Les avantages continuent pendant tout le mois. Digicel multiplie par 8 tout top up que vous envoyez à vos parents en Haïti. Oui, vous avez bien entendu, ce mois est spécial avec Digicel. Envoyez 13$ de recharge en Haïti et votre famille recevra 8 fois la valeur plus 8 gigas de données. Et ainsi, vous restez connecté 8 fois plus et vous restez bien connecté avec les vôtres en Haïti. Plus de dialogue, plus d'amour. Allez sur l'application de Digicel International sur topup.digicelgroup.com ou chez un agent. Envoyez une recharge de Digicel et faites-les bénéficier de 8 fois la valeur plus 8 gigas de données. Termes et conditions applicables. Cette promotion est valable pendant tout le mois.
The Prison Radio Show is a twice-monthly news show on CKUT. The show seeks to confront the invisibility of prisons and prisoner struggles by focusing on the roots of incarceration, policing, and criminalization, and by challenging ideas about what prisons are and who ends up inside. We have been running a phone line for prisoners and their outside supporters for the last couple years, and the phone number has recently changed. You can now reach us at 438-858-6116. We would like to thank Fed Phone Line for providing us with this number for free. They wanted us to tell you that they help save money to inmates, family, and friends by reducing the cost of collect calls. For more information about their company, you can go to fedphoneline.com. So again, our new number is 438-858-6116. You can call us collect from Bordeaux Prison and Riviere de Prairie Prison at that number. As always, we're an all-volunteer collective and don't always manage to answer the phone. If you can leave a message, please do. If you are calling collect and we don't pick up, try again next time you can get to the phone. And again, our phone number is 438-858-6116, and you can call us collect from Riviere de Prairie Prison or Bordeaux Prison.
I went to residential school. I was just 8 years old.
Gayla Kasla. My name is Gennarji O'Sullivan of the Tlaweetsis Nation, originally from Turner Island. You're listening to Wendell exploring the legacy of Indian residential schools.
Jason Whitebear is one of our youngest panelists. He is a residential school survivor.
Gakia Waku Maganak, Nadi, and Wendin Naganag. How talk you us? I said all my relations in three different languages. Those languages were taken away and given with this one here that I've mastered in residential school. And they told me that once you go there, he says, you're not going to come home with this anymore. You're not going to come home being able to speak Nehewewan. You're not going to be able to speak. But when you do go, what I want you to do is I want you to try and master everything that they give you so that they can never fool us anymore. In my generation, we're at the point now where we understand the nuances between the languages. We can say, bonjour, Anin. I wish I knew a little bit of Arab, but you know, the point being is that we're all sitting around here and we're very learned people. We're very knowledgeable. We know how to say, to say a little bit of each other's language nowadays. And that's just us as this language, as this. And I think that's a direct result of residential school, is because we always ask each other, where are you from? Well, how do you say this? How do you say that? So that when you run into somebody else, you're allowed to respect them and say, Tanse, how? Wujhu anin. So regardless of what was taken away from me during my residential school formative years, I haven't lost the ability to see. And so it is with this that I thank each and every one of you. I'd like to say, and that's Cree for I'm grateful for everything in this land. I had to learn that from a kukum, because I was speaking in front of chiefs one time and I said, I can't speak the language. So she taught me that little bit. Hi. Thank you.
You have just heard at Window exploring the legacy of Indian residential schools. Both my mother and I attended St. Michael's Residential School in Alert Bay, BC. This is a part of a larger project called Resonating Reconciliation that engages community radio as a tool to help define what reconciliation is. Resonating Reconciliation is meant to help reconcile all Canadians to this shared history. This is the work of the National Campus and Community Radio Association, the Red Jam Slam Society, and this station. Resonating Reconciliation is also supported by the Indian Residential School Survivor Society and is funded by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. To hear more, go to www.ncra.ca/resonating.
You're listening to CKUT. The following is a previously broadcast program. Stay tuned.
welcome, ladies and gentlemen, friends and comrades, all listeners to Amandla Radio here at CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We are here tonight with quite an interesting lineup. Gwen, what have you got on the go?
Yes, indeed. Okay, we do have quite the nice lineup. So we're going to be kicking off the show with an interview that I did with Catherine Cummins, who's research coordinator at Mining Watch Canada. And as our listeners will recall, she and I spoke really recently about Barrick Gold and its mine in North Mara in Tanzania. That conversation was about how 3 years ago Barrick Gold took over full control of that mine, a mine that has been dogged by a terrible history of human rights abuses and environmental abuses. Barrick took full control, saying that they were going to put an end to that. And what Mining Watch Canada discovered recently in field research that they did there was that it's actually quite the contrary, that the situation continues